And hello and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para podcast, live on Facebook, and also we'll be on Apple and Spotify when the podcast audio comes out as well. Now, look, I'm assuming that all of us are pretty happy about last week's win against the Cowboys, which we will talk about. Much better mood than last week. But anyway, in the house we have Matty Tate from Tate Sports Card. Sports cards, I should say. Sorry, Matty. Entertain House. Hayden, how you going, mate? We have Joel from League of Inches. We have myself, Troy, from the Paracade podcast. And we have Adam, who says Joel's a celebrity. How are we going, Adam, today?
Look, we're great. It's always good after a win, but we've got a celebrity. He's gone viral. He's had his first viral hit on his page about blowing up about Parramatta last week. The fans loved you, Joel. Before we get started, have you got anything to say to the fans? Obviously, a lot of people agree with you, which, you know, must make you feel wonderful. You've been described, and don't quote me, but I've heard you are the new Parramatta Jesus. So when you'll be growing the hair and wearing the robes, because honestly, like, you've gone nuts.
Oh, I think I just spoke up about some stuff that a lot of people haven't wanted to speak up against or didn't think they could or had the avenue to do so. So that's sort of, I guess, a lot of built-up frustration, and we'll get into it, but I don't think the weekend has made it any easier either. I think it confused a few things. It was great to get the 2 points, but there were still some things that weren't great to see on and off the field. So,
how many views on Instagram did your video get, Joel?
I don't know. I think it got up to like 34,000 Ks or something. I don't know.
Not bad.
If all those people that watch Joel's video can please like and subscribe to both pages, that'd be absolutely fantastic, because all of a sudden we might get some endorsements and, you know, we might be able to afford that Vegas trip, boys, rumored next year. All right, before we get to the game, let's get started with obviously the big news coming out in the last couple of days. It's been going around for a long time. Zach Lomax, obviously, 4-year deal, $2.6 million, believed to be over the 4 years, so $650,000. Obviously, the rumor was $800,000. He was floating around on it. St. George, which we don't know how true that was, but if it is $650,000, obviously a steal. Look, love to see if we can get him this year. Troy's saying no. I'm hearing we're trying to get a swap, some kind of swap. The latest rumor I've heard, we've obviously heard the Maddow rumor. We've been trying to shop Maddow around for a while. We tried with the Bulldogs earlier in the year. And the latest one I'm hearing is Brendan Hands. St. George have stated they want a top three or a top four of our players. Now, if you look at our top four players, what are you looking at? You're looking at probably Gutho, Moses, Brown, maybe Reg. I know they wanted Reg. They were aiming very high and very unrealistic. I don't know who they're going to get. I don't know who we're going to give him. I think we offer him a 2-for-1 deal. Probably someone we're not looking to use anymore. Like, look, I'll throw it out there straight away. I think Maddow is the right one to go. With the emergence of Moretti and Joe Offa playing a similar role, we don't really need Maddow in the role he plays anymore. He's clearly not built for the second row anymore. We found that out the other week when he struggled against Canberra. He's made him into a middle and got enough young middles, enough good middles coming through. I'll throw to you first, Matt. Look, you've been the most excited about this. You've been wanting Lomax, right? You've got the Lomax factor down there.
I've been wanting Lomax for 2 years right now. But yeah,
we're talking about in the footy field, Matt. I know he's been separated about that time, but
no, obviously, been throwing it out there for a while now. Eels should target Lomax. I reckon. See, the problem we have is situations like this where we release two all right forwards earlier in the year that we could have offered. But yeah, I'd go Maddow Hands if they want Hands. Just do like a 2-for-1 deal. So
I just want to add in here, Matt. You just sound like you've done this whole reverse on yourself last week. I wish I could get the words up from last week's podcast. But to quote Matt, mate, you were literally against Lomax. You were saying we're hearing all this. I'll get the footage.
Okay,
mate.
Please do.
I've never been against Lomax.
Listen to me.
I said give him Reg.
No, you said.
I said give him Reg.
all we do is hear, this is quote for quote. You know how good my memory is, mate. Don't mess with me. But you said word for word, we hear all this talk about getting Zach Lomax. Why don't we do what Penrith does and bring our juniors up? Like, it's great to see the signing.
No, I didn't say anything about Lomax.
I'll tell you what, I'm just going to stop you here for a second because last week it was Troy versus Joel. Aiden, if you're picking a fight with Matt, you're fighting well out of your weight, eh? Like, he's going to destroy you. I'm just putting that out there.
No, I will go back on that because I didn't say anything about Lomax. I said, give them what they want. I'd give them Reg for Lomax. I said, we have this thing that we're so quick to just everyone in the comments on the pages after a loss, we should buy this person, we should buy this person, instead of developing the juniors. I said nothing about not getting Lomax because I knew it was coming.
We'll find
anyway.
The footage ahead of next week. It's not a problem, mate. Man, I'm just saying it sounds like there was a different person sitting where you're sitting last week. And now he's
I don't get it, Matt. Junior's like 31 now. I don't get why you want to develop Junior anymore. Anyway, Hayden, let's get your thoughts on the Lomax deal first of all. Before you start a fight with anyone else. Is it hot up there? Is it hot up there or something? Is that the problem?
Sorry, what was that?
Central Coast.
I'm talking to Darwin. Darwin.
He's only saying it because coaching staff's been on him.
Yeah, he's got to be careful what he says.
In my hotel room in Darwin ahead of Friday night. The Lomax deal, obviously finally done and dusted. We were seeing Brad saying we're hoping to make an announcement within the coming days. But we'll see what happens. And if it's true that he's taken less money, that's obviously good on our end as well. Can play multiple positions. I think he'll end up being a fullback. I don't think it'll be in the 2025 season, but I think at some point in his Parramatta career, he'll spend at least 2 years at fullback. Going to say it now, I'm counting down for 2026. Now, 2 months ago, I basically said the next 10 premiers. I said 2026 is the year of Parramatta and they get Zach Lomax before these rumours even started to really come out. He was just unhappy at the club within that time. So, yeah, we're building for that 2026 season and obviously in career best form on the wing, but he loves his centre spot, so he'll be keen to play, I think, left centre at Para.
Are you saying, I'm going to ask you now because I'm going to throw this to everyone soon, after everyone has a say. Are you saying 2026 because Gutho's off contract at the end of 2025?
No. So 2026 for me is regardless of who's coaching, regardless of roster, people in charge are going to be saying, look, this club's a laughing stock. You know, they've been to a grand final. It's literally 40 years since you've won a grand final if you don't win this year. You know, pull your head in, boys. And I truly think, and I've just had these goosebump feels for a few years now. And the fact that 2 months ago, this little thing came to me in a dream and said, Lomax at the Eels, make a video. 2026 is the year they win. So, yeah, 2026 is actually the year of the Eel, guys.
Tell you what, that heat must be getting you, hey, near that. Even Brad Arthur, if you look over your shoulder, Brad Arthur's looking at you like an idiot.
Yeah.
Troy, your thoughts on Zach Lomax.
Yeah, well, just to go back on Hayden's thoughts there, I also had that sort of same dream in 2022 as well because, you know, Para were playing Penrith in the grand final and also Jimmy Barnes was playing halftime entertainment at the grand final as well. So perfect, two of my favourite things. But anyway, okay, Zach Lomax, great.
It turned into a nightmare instead of a dream.
It did. Well, Zach Lomax, first of all, I will say that I had a very good source saying that he won't be coming in 2024, so we can forget those talks and those thinking.
Yeah, hang on, I'm going to stop you straight away.
Okay.
I'm going to take you back. All right, I'm going to take you back to about April, May 2017. Mitchell Moses signs for Parramatta in 2018 and we get told that Mitchell Moses has no chance of coming to Parramatta in 2017. Then all of a sudden he comes. Is it the same reliable source from then, or
no? It's a pretty reliable source. So he won't be coming in 2024.
Okay.
So we can forget about all the talk who we're going to trade in. And
did we not see BA's press conference where he said we'll try and get him for this year, but it's up to Mark O'Neill and the recruitment to work a deal?
Oh, we're screwed then. or it's up to Mark O'Neill, we're screwed.
Yeah, simple as that.
Look, yeah. So anyway, he won't be coming in 2024. If he does, I'm wrong. You guys are right. But I think we can forget about talking about the exchange deal. But yeah, look.
What was the game we said earlier? Brisbane?
The Broncos.
I'm turning my back on that.
I agree.
After the bye?
Before that, bye week. The week before that, bye week.
No, I agree with you, Troy. I think it will be next year. I'll turn my back on everything that I said last week, like Matt should, but yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, no, look, getting back to Zach Lomax, great signing. He is playing on the wing, and at the moment, I don't know about career best form. He's had a great season this year. I mean, there was a couple of years ago where he was talked about for Origin, so obviously was in good form back then, but he's certainly the Dragons' best player this year so far, I reckon. But I don't know. He may play a bit of wing when he comes to Parramatta, but he'll probably play centre, but that's going to throw up the big debates about Pennicini and whether he plays left or right, so whether Zach plays left or right as well. So where do you guys think he's going to play?
That's what I'm going to get to. I'm going to get it to this now. Looking at this is why I think it's important Zach comes this year to establish himself and establish that back line. Now, Sivo's done. I think we can all agree on that. I think the only way we see Sivo in a Parramatta first grade jersey again is due to injury or suspension. It's a bit short, he's in the back line. But looking to 2025, we've got obviously the emergence of Blaise Sluggy, which he's now playing as a utility off the bench, but we'll get to that. We've got Arthur Miller-Stephen returning from an ACL injury. We should be ready to go round one next year. We've got Dick Pennicini, also known as Richard Pennicini, who by all reports was close to getting a wing spot this year before injuring himself. So we've got a problem. It's a good problem to have because our depth has obviously been shithouse for years, but we've got a good problem to have. Now, with all reports that Sanders will ask for a release in the next couple of weeks and be gone, I think Blaise probably established himself as a fullback 5'8", most likely. Leaving the battle for him and Arthur Miller-Stevens there. Look, I know Zach's obviously a big chance of playing fullback as well. The thing is, how do we make it fit next year? So I'm going to give you his time to think, and we're going to go through our ideal back five just for next year. I think Parramatta are in a big chance here to do kind of what the Roosters did with Anthony Minichiello and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck when he come in, and slowly transition someone like Blaise into the fullback at the club. Now, what that means for Gutho is Gutho potentially obviously starts here at fullback. We keep seeing Blaise maybe play off the bench. I'm going to go next year we have at fullback is Gutho. On one wing is Russell, Pennicini, Lomax, which leaves your other wing spot there for either Blaise, Simonson. I don't know if Simonson off contract at the end of the year. Does anyone know? I think he is
off contract at the end of the year. Simonson, I think he's started
Millison and R. Pennicini right there. Now, what I see is doing is putting Blaise there, and everyone goes, can Blaise play wing? He's obviously been a centre. Look, I think he's proved he can play wing in that manly game, the way he ran over Turbo. Defensively, obviously, needs to get a little bit more solid. He's going to bulk up and end up with another full NRL preseason. I'm sure he's going to hit that age. And it gives us that opportunity to rotate. Now, I'm not saying Gutho will go the wing, but it gives us a chance to rotate and put Blaise at fullback for that impact. We can put Lomax at fullback and Gutho to the centres. That's what I'd be doing. That's how I'd be handling that. Obviously, 2025 is a long way away, but that's what I'm looking at. Joel, yours?
I think Gutho fullback. I'd have obviously Will Pennicini, Lomax in the centres. I would have probably Richard Pennicini on one wing, and then I'd look at potentially putting Blaise on the other. But if that is the plan, then they've got to start and do that now. There's no point having him on the bench playing a couple of minutes here and there in first grade. If that's the plan for the kid moving forward, to give him some regular first grade time, whether that's straight away now or he plays some bit of New South Wales Cup for a few weeks and then comes into the side on the wing, they need to do that now, because clearly there needs to be plans in place, because if there's not, we're going to lose him. There's going to be clubs all over the place for him that will come and say, we'll offer you starting centre. There'll be clubs probably happy to give him fullback already. We can't do that, obviously, but if we can give him a spot on the wing in that back line for next year and maybe partner him up with Lomax, I think that's a pretty lethal edge, and something that's probably worthy of him staying with the club long term, with a view to push him into that fullback position over the next few years and maybe rotate with Gutho towards the back end of his career when they do that sort of switch up, sort of play half-half fullback wing over the next few years.
I guess the important thing is, and it's one of the things I called the club out at the start of the year and being lost for what to do with Sanders and calling BA out for that is, at least we are prioritising getting him in the starting team. I'm going to go into it a bit more, obviously, in the team, and I've got another point to make and the impact that social media has had on this as well, and if they're actually starting to listen to the fans a bit, but we'll get to that. It's a whole other talking point a bit later. Hayden, your thoughts just that back line, is Lomax a winger?
Just quickly before Hayden does his one, I didn't get to say a player that I'd shop over to the Dragons. And again, on the weekend, I thought his
display
was horrible.
We don't have to worry about it because he's not coming this year, so we don't have to worry about it.
give us your realistic. Who are you sending?
Sean Lane. He can go. I'm over him. I'm done with him. He's done. See you later. I've seen a couple of things on the weekend. That Nene try, and we'll talk about it when we talk about the game, is absolutely disgusting. So he can piss off. Right. I'm done with him.
That'll be Joel's next viral video.
We've got a whole segment ready for Joel. Don't worry. Go, Hayden.
I reckon there's a massive... I'll say Gutho does get fullback. I think there's a massive chance they could shift him to the centres or something to change if they wanted to go down that path. I can see Gutho potentially playing centre next year if they want to either put Lomax there or Blaze. But I'll say for my team, I'll say Gutho is there. I actually think Simonson will be there on the wing. I think they might even re-sign Simonson. I think he's been reliable at wing and centre. No reason to get rid of him or drop him. Penasini and Lomax in the centres. Don't know which side. I mean, Zach obviously prefers the right-hand side, but Will's made it his spot for years. And then I probably have Blaze Taulagi on the wing. So, yeah, a bit harsh on Russell. And Russell's been part of the team for, you know, 2-3 years, even through injury now. But I think kind of an X-factor kind of team, a bit more speed about it. So, yeah, that's how I'd probably have the back five.
Yeah, look, the concern I've got is we've been screaming out for an X-factor, a centre for quite a while. We've really struggled for a centre. We've seen Bailey filling in, obviously, Walker Harper there at the moment. I guess we got lucky. We have seemed to kind of found that with Taulagi coming through. But if we've signed Lomax, you'd like to think the conversation and how happy he was, unhappy he was at the Dragons, you'd like to think Arthur's had the conversation and guaranteed he will be in the centres. Look, you obviously don't want to make too many promises to a player because anything could happen in the preseason, anyone can emerge. But you think some kind of conversation would have had to happen around that based on how he's been at the Dragons. Matt, your back line 2025.
Yeah, it's a good one to have, actually. It's a good little...
For once,
yeah. Not being able to pick the same players over and over again. But I feel like we saw it, when was it last year, where Gutho was like, if you get me an X-factor fullback, I'll move to centre. I feel like Gutho's probably had that conversation and BA's had the conversation, and maybe that's why Lomax is coming, to maybe transition to a fullback. I see Blaze being more of a Swali'i type center, strong, powerful runner. But I feel like Gutho will start at fullback, but it's a good one to have because then you can switch Lomax halfway through the game, then switch Blaze back there in certain plays. You could literally rotate the whole team four times and just the defense wouldn't know what happened. But yeah, I feel like Gutho will be fullback, but you'll see him develop, I feel like, develop Blaze into the fullback. So how we need to. And then Gutho will just go assistant coach.
Final say, Troy.
Gutho fullback, Blaze wing, Penasini, Lomax, Russell.
Yeah, famous what I've done.
And like I said, Morgan Harper, Bailey Simonson, DJ Arce are off contract at the end of the year.
End of the year. You'd like to hope, and obviously we've got to have room in that salary cap, that some of them are going to stay. So we can obviously have the debt we haven't had for years and have those people, and this is obviously a Brad Arthur thing, and Brad Arthur's got to get it right. But have these players pushing if players fall out of form. Personally, I love Lomax as what he's done on the wing this year. He's got the stupidity out of his game by being on the wing. He's not looking for those stupid passes. I feel if he plays fullback, he's going to be exactly the same, looking for those miracle plays all the time. that if he comes in and does that, he needs to learn to play his role. I said preseason is going to be very interesting next year. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go on to the game on the weekend. Obviously, Parramatta coming away with a win. It's always good when you come away with a win. Much needed. We're still hurting. I'm still hurting a little bit. I'm not going to lie. We're not where I thought we'd be this year still. And we've shown that promise. I know it's great we had a win. And the reason I'm still hurting, I'm just going to come out and say it, is my son's still walking around chanting Tigers ever since that Parramatta Tigers game I took him to. So he's still got the memories of the Tigers absolutely dominating us at home.
Well, mate, just tell him to get over it, all right? That was three weeks ago.
He's telling me he likes Parramatta and the Tigers now. So I don't know what to do. Looks like we're going to be making a trip to Campbelltown, hopefully when we're firing and they're sucking later in the year. And obviously then, you know, teach him that Tigers suck. Anyway, 27-20. I wasn't at the game. I didn't see a lot of the game. I watched it at a pub with a three-year-old running around after being at Magic Round at Newcastle, which was five local games and a lot of beer. Not that I drank a lot because I was commentating. You were there, Hayden. Have your say. Thoughts on the game?
Yeah, as for the game itself, I thought it was actually a very entertaining game. Being at the game, yeah, really, really entertaining game against the Cowboys there. But one thing I do want to start with is the crowd interaction. Now, I've had a few people rally to my side, which I really do
appreciate. The best seats in the house, I heard.
Yeah, yeah. I was just about to ask you, Hayden, how are your seats on at this game?
Yeah, best seats in the house. I owe Matt a beer at that Eels and Broncos game. Matt has the best seats by the club by a country mile. But no, I want to give thanks to the people who messaged me saying, you know, thanks for, you know, trying to start chants throughout the game, because something I've spoken about on the podcast is the lack of chant and the automated chant, the crowd interaction being absolutely awful. There wasn't the Paras in the Tunnel signs with cheerleaders or whatever.
Hey, thank God. But there praise was, the Lord.
There was the DJ, Paras in the Tunnel, still going. As
baby
the Cowboys,
steps, Hayden. Baby steps.
As the Cowboys started to come out. But, yeah, a couple of times. One time it worked but led to a knock-on. But the first time, absolutely no one chanting. Parramatta getting into about 25 metres out from the try line. And I try to start a chant and no one around me, people looking at me with funny looks on the vlog. So, yeah, a lot of people messaged me rallying, saying, you know, you're trying to support the club, appreciate this, keep doing what you do. But, yeah, the PA system chants were probably, there was probably about three or four all game. Crowd interaction was poor. I think there was 14,000, which if that ruins trivia.
Stop, let's be honest. There was about 8,000 people there.
Yeah. Well, they're fudging the numbers for
sure.
They're
always fudging the numbers. We know they're fudging the numbers. Even look at the 29,000 they put up earlier near. There was 8,000 people there, if that.
As for touching on the actual game itself, you know, I think early on really struggled. I think big props to Dejan Arce, especially started the game really poor in defence. And then because the Cowboys technically obviously denied a couple, but they scored two early tries against us and we looked dead and buried and, you know, found a way to get back into it. The edge side still struggled, as we've seen in recent years, even though Harper redeemed himself later in the game, that edge still struggled. But, yeah, the halves stood up and it was good to get the 2 points at home.
Yep. Joel, watching at home? Did you watch it or are you still pissed off? You were over him last week. Yeah. You were done with the club. Did you watch the game?
To be honest, I watched it. And it was probably the first time, I'll be brutally honest, after the game, even though we won, I was like, it felt like a loss in a way. I'll sort of agree with what you were saying, Adam. I didn't think we played that great. We were lucky we versed a Cowboys team, which is probably one of the only teams in the competition that has worse defence than our own. I don't know how they're near the top of the ladder, but their defence is horrible.
Easy draw. Easy start for you.
That plays a part. The start that we had, I don't know why people haven't spoken about it more, but that was diabolical, our start. After being embarrassed the week before against the Raiders and to come out, and we know Brad Arthur goes on about how important the start is for the side, it looked like we were literally in the tunnel still, sitting down, having a drink, thinking about last week's game again. They didn't want to come out and play. We were lucky that the Cowboys got, I think, two tries disallowed early on. And there was a couple of little errors in there as well. So it could have easily been like 18-20 or something early on in that game, and we were going to get probably the floor wiped underneath us. So it wasn't a great start. We came back, credit to us. Morgan Harper's defensive reads early on was horrible. Why he still is in ahead of Blaze Talangi, I have no idea, but that's another conversation point, I guess. But they came back. Credit to them. I still think there was a couple of players that I've named already that haven't sort of aimed up still this year and continually get picked week in, week out for whatever reasons. But the 2 points is there. We've got a very, very hard run coming up. So that was vital to get those 2 points. Same with this weekend as well. And then to see what the team does. But hopefully they're not sitting back, patting each other on the back after that one. There's a lot of improvement to come.
Did Bryce Cartwright do anything in that game? I'm just actually looking at his stats genuinely.
He shouldn't
now.
Have been playing.
I didn't notice him on the field. Is he still carrying that injury?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
100%. And he shouldn't have played him. It was too risky because he literally, felt like he wasn't playing.
Like in his game, he's got a tackle break or an offload, something in him. He had one offload through the game, but he only ran for 50 metres for 7 carries. So, yeah, he was someone I just didn't notice on the field. But as you said, maybe from that TV point of view, you could realise more that he should
but
have
that's
been.
Stupid. Like I said,
he's lucky
he's not
to be
right,
playing this
be
week too as but well, he, anyway.
He shouldn't be.
Well, he's lucky too because of the head massage into the ground.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We've got enough depth there anyway. He shouldn't be playing. Anyway, your thoughts, Troy, on the game?
Yeah, look, slow start, as everyone has said, which is not good. We want to get off to a good start. The offload game was there again. 11 offloads for the game. Completion rate was a little bit down, which is always a problem. You obviously want to have your completions high, especially in the first half it was down low. But look, I think coming back from behind again, you don't want to do that in this competition. You want to start winning games by leading from the front. And look, I know he cops a lot of abuse, but I think Morgan did have a good game. He did run for 123 metres and there was obviously he never gave up chasing that ball for the off the Dylan Brown kick for the try. There was one run he did off in the backfield for kick return where he nearly broke the line, and that was a good run there. So he does cop a little bit of abuse, but that.
Just wait, Joe. You're going to get a whole segment soon.
Well, there you go. But look, obviously, Gutho was probably the player of the match, I guess. He was anywhere and everywhere and just leading from the front. But, you know, we expect that from him every week, and Parramatta fans do that, and that's what he does. So, yeah, it was good to see come back. I thought there was, when they took the, there was, when they went to 8-6 in front, I thought they probably should have went maybe for more points and gone for the try. But I guess 2 points was on offer, so they went for the goal. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Yeah, just a quick stat for you there. I agree. I thought Harper was good in attack, but defensively still not good enough. 6 missed tackles for a centre. Just isn't great. He made 5 tackle breaks, so he broke one less tackle than he missed.
Yeah, but he could have given up after that one where he jammed.
Oh,
100%. He could have given up, but he didn't. He got back
No one's going to deny Harper's effort. Harper is an effort player. The same can't be said for other players. I'm not saying he's brilliant, but some of the players with a bit more ability than him, because let's be honest, there's players with a lot more ability than him. If they put in the effort and had the will to want to win that Harper had, that'd be 1,000 times better player. So you can't deny that. He wants to be there, and it's clear the players want him there. He's obviously doing something right training. And I guess one of the things of playing a lot of footy is having a bloke next to you, you know, is going to have your back no matter what, is going to put in for you, going to be there to support you when you make an error or be there to support you when you miss a tackle or something like that. They're the kind of player you want around you. You can forgive them for their little errors. That's what I'll say about Harper. Look, I'm going to give... Hang on, Matt, I haven't gone to you yet. Sorry, Matt, go.
No, it was a...
Sorry, it's just Darwin heat. Game. Darwin heat.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say...
The humidity.
It was a very sloppy game, I felt like. But the good thing that came out of that game was BA learnt from the Penrith game when Simonson went off. He didn't put Talangi, Senna and Harper...
He put him on, and I threw so much abuse at the TV when he put him on. I was like, surely not.
As soon as they said what he did is what he should have done in the Penrith game, like everyone was saying. So he learned from that. It's good to see some of the, like, Guffo and Dylan on the fly. There was a bit where Dylan made like a half break, and you know how I'm always criticizing them setting up the next play before the first one's done. It's good to see the very next play Guffo support Dylan and they done like a little trick shot. But yeah, like Arcee should have been in there 2 weeks ago, just saying.
Yeah, just quickly before you continue, Matt. Hey, Peter, thanks for the shout out. Love your support. Look, if you don't want to watch, that's fine.
Clown.
You can go join Jenny. She likes to comment telling us she won't be watching. I'm not sure if she did this week. So you and Jenny, you can take a hike together. Obviously, we're all passionate about the club, all 10 games, all members. Every single one of us here is a member, even Joel, who lives with Whoop.
Well, look, I must just say, too, the continuous core team, they're dribblers as well, and look how successful they are. So, you know.
100%.
Yeah, just want to give a bit of credit to one of the players off the bench as well. I got to...
Woo up. You'll get your turn. Calm down.
He's had his turn. He's coming back from war.
We're coming back. We're going to go to your best player soon. Just let me have my thoughts on the game, all right? Just sit there. Calm down, all right? You good? Did you have your Subway this morning?
No.
Okay, there you go. That's why. All right, look.
Shout out to Subway too if you want to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, well, we just want any sponsor. But we're getting the views thanks to people like Peter tuning in every week. Look, my thoughts on the game. I guess the one thing I want to say is they're the kind of games you look back at the end of the year and you're glad you won. I don't think the Cowboys are a great team. I think they're very lucky with the start of the draw to be where they are. I think the Dolphins... Let's not forget that most of us had Moses out, not Paramount. Paramount are not winning a game. Okay, Joel had that. I think Matt had that. My brother had that. I was confident we'd win because I knew the Cowboys were pretenders. Every win we get now is a bonus. Watching BA, we said Moses is all of a sudden a bit ahead of where he should be. He knows he'll push. I think he's still in a moon boot, but he's confident he'll be back potentially a little bit earlier. So let's hope we can get him back for Magic Round so we don't get slaughtered by Melbourne.
He wants to play Origin.
We saw him at the game too. He was pretty much coaching from the sideline.
That's good. That doesn't mean he can fucking run, Matt.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. the first couple of games, he was a passenger anyway after he'd done his groin. So
yeah, all right. I guess the difference I want to make in that game was bit of common sense with Arcee coming in, really took the pressure off Dylan Brown. I'll spoil it early and say my player of the match was Dylan Brown. He played as a 5'8", even though he's wearing a 7, and I thought he was awesome. Arcee, look, as you said, didn't make the best start, but got on with it and got the sealer for the try and the sealer for, obviously, the field goal in the end. The one thing I want to call him out for is the effort area is still out there, and a great example of that would be Joey Lussick's no try off the short dropout. Now, Lussick knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew he was going to cover that hit back. I don't know if they'd done film on it. I don't know if it's something he always does. I'd like to see it again. But the fact he got himself that little bit offside, the fact they looked to check it as well, was very surprising. Like, they really want to take that try of us, because that would probably happen a lot. But the fact that he just could not wait that little bit just shows there's a little effort area missing for some of the players they need to improve. Good to see Arthur make those changes. Good to see that we got the win, but there's still a lot to go. So that's my player of the match. I guess my moment of the match. I'm going to come back to me. I can't remember. I'll go Joel first. Joel, player of the match, moment of the match.
I'll go Gutho as my player of the match. Just the energy he brought to the side the whole game. Without that, we don't win. My moment of the match was actually what Matt spoke about earlier, and I wanted to mention it was Moses and how animated he got on the sideline. We haven't seen that, I think, in a player that's been out injured for us, I think, ever. To show that sort of passion for the side is what we've been screaming out for. So it was good to see him literally on the sideline writing every play, basically being that voice that he normally would be on the field, off the field. And I got no doubt the players probably heard him all game as well. He wouldn't have shut up. So that's the sort of player that we need, and that's how much we're missing him. So credit to Moses for showing everyone out there just how much his club does actually mean to him.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in my moment of the match now. And it was actually at the full time. As you said, passion, just Gutho at the end, what it meant to him to get that win. Look, the Chase Field obviously are a pretty tight group and they haven't liked the bagging out they've copped in the last couple of weeks. A fair bit from us, but a fair bit from everywhere as well. It's been all over social media. So just what it meant to him. Like I said, the game was pretty scrappy. There's some nice tries, there's some lucky tries, but that's footy. Hayden?
I think my player of the game was Dylan Brown. I think I agree with you there. I think his kicking game was exceptional, which is a bit of a weaker point in recent weeks. His defence has been fairly good in recent weeks, but it's probably his best defensive game in the halves there this season at least as well. So, yeah, Dylan Brown, massive game for me. Just wanted to mention, after the game, I was lucky enough to have a bit of a chat with Parramatta Eel Joe Offahengawi, and he is very pumped about that game. You know, obviously scoring a try, thought it was his best game in the blue and gold jumper and very passionate to be at the club. And some great stats from him. Obviously, he's not only the try, but coming off the bench for 36 minutes with four tackle breaks and a line break, as well as 70 metres in the game. So big game from Joe Offa off the bench. But yeah, Dylan Brown, mine, is the pick for man of the match.
You could have said big game because those stats don't talk big game. Really? 36 minutes. He started the game, didn't he?
Well, he started the game, yeah, but they're pretty good stats for not playing the full 80.
Yeah,
what was your moment of the game, Hayden?
Yeah, your moment, Hayden.
I'm gonna say the Dejan Arce field goal, because there were a few times where Parramatta looked like they were setting up for it, ready to seal it, and they struggled to do that. Like, it looked like Dylan was ready to kick the field goal. So I think for Arce to finally get that moment, and you could see the Cowboys putting their hands up, trying to defend it as well, which could have gone either way, which we've seen this year. So, yeah, I'll go the Dejan Arce field goal. He was very good, to, especially from that poor start, to turn his game around. He was massive on Saturday night.
I think we set up for it a couple times. And
Joey, like, four times, man.
Yeah, and Joey tried to go himself, didn't he? I'm going to say Dylan. Obviously, you could tell with Arce being there, it took the pressure off him. Moment of the match, I'm going to say Arce's try. The pace that Guffo got there and pushed away and got Arce into that gap. And yeah, like, I'm just going to say that was the moment of the match. Pretty much sealed it. And then, yeah, obviously he iced. It's always good to see a player against his old club do stuff like that. So,
Troy?
Yeah, well, look, you guys have all mentioned them. So, Gutho, Dylan, Arce. So I'm just going to go, I've got Morgan Harper as man of the match up there on my little screen there. But I'm going to say Junior. I think he made a big impact when he came off the bench again. So we obviously know that he's making an impact off the bench. So that'll probably start again this week. And I think he just brought a little bit more energy as well when he came off the bench and had 124 metres. So I think he was probably, you know, as I said, you guys have all mentioned him, so I'll just mention Junior. Moment of the match, I think Joey Lussick's try. That was a good combination of passes from Dylan Brown to Will Penasini. His pass to Joey was, you know, pretty good to be going down and just throw it inside the field. So, yeah, that's probably the moment of the match for me.
I think Morgan Harper cops done fairly, guys, and just a special moment here, and Joel's got him ready to go. We've actually got a special guest tonight. Guys, if you'd like to welcome Morgan Harper. No, I'm fucking with you. We haven't got Morgan Harper.
Not yet. No, maybe one day.
Not yet. Maybe one day when he's retired. Look, keep your comments coming, guys, as well. Obviously, get to him at the end. Peter, if you've got any more comments, love to hear more feedback.
Thanks, mate. Probably gone by now.
He's probably gone. He's had his say. He's had his say. He's gone. All right, before we move on to next week's game, a couple of things I want to touch on. Obviously, we've been talking about this quite a lot in the last couple of weeks, we'll say. And I'm trying to work out how to word this, but obviously there's a news article come out this week that the major sponsor of Parramatta, Alland, is looking to pull out of the major jersey sponsor. Parramatta's looking for a major jersey sponsor next year. Now, we had our, yeah, it won't be us. Not yet. So
we're looking for sponsors for us. Maybe Alien can come to us.
Yeah, 100%. But the point I want to make is obviously there was comments made by within our club that they don't seem to care about results. It's more about a business. I can't remember the exact comments, what they were. Does anyone remember the exact comment that was made?
What was it? Oh, fuck. Yeah, it was...
It was along those lines.
It's not about the results. It's about the profit or something.
Well, all I'll say is I hope the club's fucking woken up to themselves now, because obviously you've got not only a major sponsor, but a major sponsor that appears to be a fan of the team, a fan of the club, who's now pulled the pin because of comments like that. So I hope that hits us financially. No doubt we'll get another sponsor. Western Sydney's growing massively. City of Parramatta is obviously growing massively. There's lots of clubs that want to sponsor us. Businesses that will want to sponsor us. But this shows to you that results matter in every single sport, in every business. And Tate Sports Card will not be sponsoring, that's for sure. Unless you're not telling us something. Like, if you are, we're all going to Vegas. That's a negative. Now, I want to get to a positive. Is the club starting to listen to its fans?
Nope.
Now, hang on. Let me make my point first. Then we'll go around the room. Troy, you're banned from this because you'll have not Troy, Joel, you're banned from this because you're having your whole segment in a second. Now, sorry, comments. I'm fucked. I'm going. That's throwing me off. Subway want to sponsor us. So, the point I'm trying to make now is, Para's in the tunnel, obviously, the signs are gone. There's been a lot of feedback around that. The backlash last week was huge when Brad obviously didn't play Blaze. There was a lot of criticism around that, a lot of comments and stuff. Are we starting to get some kind of results? Is the power with the people? Hayden, you said no straight away, so have your say.
Okay. I'm going to sound a little bit cocky to a sense here, but as you can see by my little description, let us in the sheds, Para. Now, I want to touch on other clubs, and those clubs are the Canberra Raiders, the Gold Coast Titans. I've seen the West Tigers in it as well. Now, what I'm talking about is podcast content creators, things like that, who respect their club, speak about their club, make content for their club. Now, I can tell you for a fact that Parramatta will not let myself or anyone in this podcast near the sheds for an opportunity with players. You also see that post-game, we've spoken about, they kind of block off fan experiences from player. The contact with the club that I've had in response to this, I don't think fans in that sense like us matter per se. So maybe when it comes to people commenting online, yeah, they're reading comments on Facebook posts and seeing that from our engagement. From a content creator perspective, which is what we have become, guys, I can tell you that they're not listening to the fans, and you've got clubs like the Raiders, Titans, Tigers, letting their fans in the sheds, interview players, be there to film jerseys and things like that on game day. There's going to be none of that experience coming from us. So that's why I've got to let us in the sheds, Para. If you're watching this, we just love the club. We speak both negatively and positively from a fan experience, and you have to listen to your fans, and eventually things should budge when you see that other clubs are respecting their fans, because there's no respect from this club for us at the moment.
But in
after Matt's comment before about wanting to see Lomax, I don't think they're going to let him in the sheds anytime soon. Anyway, no, Matt, go.
No, I was going to say there is one Para podcast that gets full access, not naming names, but they acknowledge us, just saying.
Do they sit behind you, Matty?
Yeah, shout out,
boys. No, they don't, Matt. I've spoken to them. They don't. They get interaction, but as far I'm gonna say
training. They get full access to training every day because some of them are retired and they go to training every day.
Okay,
all the players know them. They come to them after games, before games.
Okay, and that's fine.
In saying that, if they're not listening to us, didn't they play? Click goes the Eels after the win for the first time this season.
No, it's been played every. It's been played the other games. Did they put it up on the screen with the words this time?
I'm just going to add.
I can't remember.
It seems like a personal vendetta, Hayden. Go on.
Well, no, I'm just saying that the club doesn't listen to their fans in that aspect. You're asking, do things change from a fan perspective? And I can tell you, and I've named obviously clubs as well. Now, the example, the Gold Coast Titans, they're sitting at the bottom of the ladder. I can tell you two creators that are literally letting their fans to
but
speak.
That's creators, not fans.
Like that. Okay, but that's where this comes into
fans
it.
Fans do they... get let in the sheds. I've been in there. Troy's been in there.
How big do you have to be to get in the sheds, Hayden? Because that's what it's about. It's about the exposure for the club. So,
yeah.
If Talking Para Podcast can get 50,000 followers, then maybe.
The problem with those clubs is, yeah, they rely on the content creators because their social media team's crap.
Yes, and they've got no fans.
That's where it is.
That's all it
is.
Look
at the Titans, for instance.
They literally don't have to pay content like for a social media team because they get it for free by getting those guys, content creators, into the club. So they're saving money because they don't have the money we have where we can fork out millions of dollars each year on content creators and Olin Techers and, yeah.
Troy, anything to add?
Well, you know, the major sponsor is a Parramatta fan. They are fans of Parramatta. Could it be just a...
Do you know them? Can we get some sponsorship?
unfortunately, no, I don't know who they are. But could it be a massive smokescreen to fire up the team to get results?
No.
Or do you think it's generally serious?
No. So he's wanted certain people at the club gone for a long time, and those certain people aren't gone. So that's the behind the scenes. My dad used to work with his son. Remember, Troy? And I'm telling you now, they don't want half the people that run that club. They don't want there. So this is their way of. But they'll still be on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, they'll be on the back of the jersey. How long have they been the major sponsor for?
About 10, over 10 years now.
So it's a pretty good run, isn't it? 10 years. So for a major sponsor, I mean, you don't see too many major sponsors 10, 11, 12 years at their helm, unless you're a successful club.
Same with head coaches.
Well, I mean, look at Penrith. They changed their sponsor this year.
That come down to who's going to give them more money, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, it all comes down to success. If you're winning games, money comes in. It's just our club was fucking stupid saying it doesn't. All right, let's move on from that. We're going to go through the bowl predictions, then we're going to give Joel his say. Bowl predictions for the weekend. Obviously, the score was 27-20. Matt had 22-20, nailed one of the scores. Joel had the Cowboys 44-10. Yep. And then...
Close.
Troy and Hayden were just on each other's pieces and had 24-20. I had 30-22. So, look, you guys get it because you had the 20. So, you get half a point each there, Troy and Hayden. And first try scorer, I had Sean Lane. Troy had Will Penasini. Joel had Valentine Holmes. And Matt had Bryce Cartwright. The first try scorer out of all them was Morgan Harper, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so, Aiden, you're on fire. Look at you go. Troy had Harper to score the game-winning try. You weren't far off. I had a lane double. Didn't happen. Joel had a field hat trick.
Can I? Troy, did you?
Hang on. You're excited, bro. Look at you.
Must be the points he's getting. That's why.
You turned into a man a couple of weeks ago. Now you think you run the place. All right. Matt had down 20-6 and Brown game-winner in the last minute. And Hayden had Brown try and two assists, so no one gets any points there, but Hayden takes out the points this week. Congratulations, Hayden. Now hold your thought, Hayden, because it's Joel's turn. All right. Now we haven't got the explosion ready because Matt hasn't taken back over the stream yard yet. But Joel, everyone ready? What fucking pissed you off this week, Joel? What are you pissed off about?
I've already mentioned my stuff about in the game. I'm not going to talk about what's actually pissed me off. What I'm going to talk about is the fallout from last week's episode, both what I said, a couple of others have said, what people have said in the social media world, and basically about, obviously, I then reposted onto my page as well, and it got a heap of views, and people have had their say. What I want to call out is the people who sort of sit back their keyboards and then try and say someone who's holding the club accountable are not supporters or not true supporters, go find another club, etc. Just because me personally or other people out there, there's a multiple, ever since my videos have gone out, there's that many people that has reached out to me saying they support my views. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm not even fudging the numbers. It's actually crazy. And they've just always been scared to say something because they get shut down on social media or their comments get deleted. Just because we're supporters and hold the club accountable does not mean we are not true supporters of the club. If anything, I'd say it actually is the opposite. It shows how much we are passionate about the club, that we want to improve the club moving forward. We're happy to call out things. I've got a presence. I've got a face, obviously, to my name. Everyone knows who I am. If they see me on the street, I'm out there because of what I've said now, and I can't go back on that, but I wouldn't change that. I want to hold the club accountable. There's still many things that I still think the club can improve on. We've heard about the things with the juniors over the weekend as well, which is pretty pathetic with what's happened there as well. So there is multiple things happening in the club continually. I think it's pretty fake from fans who just sit back with blue and gold glasses on no matter what happens and says the club's doing a good job when they clearly aren't. They're the fans that should go and get another club, because if you're happy to sit there and accept almost 40 years without a premiership, you're supporting not just the wrong club, but you're supporting the wrong code and the wrong sport. Sport's based off winning, and if you haven't won, you're not successful and you're not doing anything that you should be doing in a sporting code. So end of the day there. Look, I will take what I said last week. I'll hold my heart, blue and gold heart, up, and I'll say I'll say what I've said there. So that's what more I've got this week. Look, I'm happy to, as I said, I'm happy to hold accountability to what I said, and I'm happy to cop the shit. But don't call me and other people who have the same sort of opinions, and I see it in social media world, not true supporters, because we're literally calling out a club that we love and would die for.
That's Charles' explosion for this week. I think that was targeted at Peter and Gwen as well. So Peter and Gwen, if you're still watching, well, Gwen hasn't watched since last week, but well said.
Maybe right, let's move on.
Well, just quickly, because you didn't let me do it before.
Hang on, Hayden. What is a true supporter? Because I hate hearing that as well.
Sorry, I've got a question for you. Before
okay,
I forget,
yeah, Hayden.
You were running up to people after the game, telling everyone that you got your bold prediction correct. Now, I just want to ask you, did you truly believe that Morgan Harper scored the last try on Saturday night? Or did you know that he scored a try leading to a 7-point win? Because, mate, I thought you were getting 100 points. You were walking up to everyone, including me, going, got my bold prediction, got my bold prediction. Well, you didn't. Dejan Arce scored the last try.
Yes, he did.
Did you, in the moment, but
at
think
that,
it was
at, but at that Harper. Time when Harper scored his try, it was the game-winning try.
Fuck off.
Let's move into this week.
Guys, I'm tapping out this year. Like, I don't know if you guys have realized again.
Is that one empty as well? Jeez.
We did it last year. I can't drink anymore. I'm full. I don't want to piss all night. I got through four last year when we did this before the Darwin game. Joel, have you realized how much water we've been drinking? Because you were the one stitched up this year, by the way. Last year it was Hayden. We didn't tell Hayden. This year it was Joel. I saw you join in a few times.
I normally go through a bottle, so
I still remember last year I had that whole shelf behind me just full of water.
Last year I drank 4.5 litres in an hour podcast and pissed about 15 times. I've drank 1.5. I had a big dinner. I'm tapping out. I can't physically fit in.
Okay.
I don't even care about
See you, mate. Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I duck off, I'll go on for a piss. All right. It's our favourite game this year, taking of the water. Darwin game, the game where, once again, the club gets to prove its point that money's worth more than winning. $1 million, I believe, we get. Is that how much we get? Is it $1 million? Off the Northern Territory government to take a game there. Once again, we've taken a Queensland team. Once again, we haven't picked it. The NRL have picked it. So that was a question earlier. Happy to answer that question now after all this time. Look, the Dolphins have come at a good time. I think they're pretenders as well. Fuck, I hope that doesn't come back to bite me. But I do think they're pretenders. I think they've been touched, like the Cowboys, an easy start to the draw. And obviously a few injuries this week. They've got a few outs as well. Hemmer, who's the other ones that are out? Hemmer, who else?
Flegler, Farnworth.
Milford doesn't count.
He's suspended.
Doesn't count.
Ooh. Do you mean out this week or do you mean out entirely?
No, I just mean who there was players from us. But anyway, It's fine. Milford doesn't count. So it's a Darwin game. We love it. I think we can turn it around this year. Like I said, I don't think they've made a wonderful start. Well, they've made a wonderful start, but an easy start. They've got a few outs. Joel, your thoughts? Darwin game, Friday night. I'll go through the team, actually, before I get you so we can talk about that. Sorry, Joel. Sit back. Shut up. this week's game.
Zip it.
Well, he's finally caught up to us in time, so...
that's right.
Yeah, Herbie was out as well. Yeah, so that's some big outs. We're $1.39 favourites, gamble responsibly. Hot conditions, drink plenty of water. Team is Gutherson at fullback, Russell, Simonson, Penasini, Harper, RC and Brown in the halves again, Hopgood at lock, Cartwright and Lane, Paulo named to start probably off the bench, Lussick and Campbell-Gillard. Bench of Moretti, Madison, Offengawi and Tulagi. Now, interesting one, obviously, is Tulagi. I'm going to touch on it straight away before anyone else does. Look, I think he's listened. He's listened to the backlash a bit. New South Wales Cup, Aiden, quick summary. Did he stand out in New South Wales Cup? I know you saw the end of the game at least.
I did see the end of it. So as for Blaze, a couple of drop balls, but, yeah, probably stood up. And as Joel said, we were killing his confidence by not naming him. So... Yeah, obviously a good win there for New South Wales Cup boys.
Yeah, congratulations. Well. They got a win.
Yeah, woohoo. One. Pop the champagne, one win. So how good's our debt? Obviously, look, Bailey's carrying a little bit of an injury. Picked up last week with that knee strapping. How they use Tulagi is going to be the interesting one.
Mm.
We talked about X Factor and something off the bench. I guess you can kind of compare it to what Melbourne did with Pappenhausen. They brought him in. Floated him around when he first came in and kind of gave him a chance to run around. Now, what I can see happening is Gutherson going to hook it for a bit and Blaze going to pull back. That's the only viable option unless we get an injury. I don't know what else we do. Like, I don't know how else is going to bring him the game. He can't play him at lock. He's struggled to defend at 5'8". He's not going to be able to defend at lock. So that's all I can think. I don't know what plans he has. He's got to have a plan. We backed Brad Arthur. We trust Brad Arthur. We definitely didn't want Brad Arthur out. No, we still do. Just joking. So, Joel, now you've heard the team. Now you've got the thoughts. Take it away, Joel.
I don't know what Blaze is doing on the bench. That's a bit pointless in my opinion. I think it's the perfect game, the perfect opposition just to let him go back into that centre position for the rest of the year, let him get some confidence against an understrength Dolphins side. And away he goes. We're not going to do anything or trouble teams with Morgan Harper at centre. We're going to trouble teams with Blaze Tulagi in centre. So we should be looking to do that for the foreseeable future and just blood him this year. But then, as I said, if the plan is to put him into the wing, but then maybe move him to wing and put Bailey back to centre or something like that. But the way we beat the Dolphins, it's pretty simple. We've got to start a lot better than we started on the weekend. We can't let them get in early. It's going to be hot, humid. Again, we've taken a team that's used to that sort of conditions or a lot better suited to those conditions than a couple of the other teams in the competition. So we can't let them get on the board early, get some early confidence. The side that the Dolphins have, if we're not putting them away comfortably, then we're not going to make the top eight, sorry to say. This is a huge game because, as I spoke about earlier, we have a really, really hard run coming up. It's got some quality teams in it. And if we're not winning this game, we may as well not even turn up for those games because it'll be embarrassing.
Yep. Now, Troy, I've gone to you last every time, and I must admit I've been doing it on purpose.
That's fair enough. I can wait.
Because of that stupid fucking hat. I hate that hat.
Okay.
I absolutely.
Well,
hate it.
It only comes out once a year. So, just for you, mate.
It shouldn't come out once a year. I hate it. So, I'm going to let you go now. Have your say. Can you take that hat off, please?
No, I've got a bad hairdo underneath. But anyway, as Joel said, massive game this weekend. Crucial game. Need to get this win and then go into the Manly game. And then the bye. So, look, a few stats about the Darwin game. We've played there 9 times for 6 wins. And we've played the Cowboys 3 times, Brisbane twice, Canberra twice, Penrith and the Gold Coast. But last time we played with this referee, Todd Smith, was in 2022. We actually won the penalty count, but we lost the game. So, yeah. 6-3.
Thanks, Dave Middleton.
But anyway. It's going to be
that's Troy selling the Darwin game.
It's going to be 26 to 34 degrees in Darwin on Friday. So
I thought that was your score prediction.
No, but yeah, get off to a good start. In terms of Blaze on the bench, I think potentially he may come on in the middle of the game, middle of the first half. You know, when those big Dolphin forwards get a bit tired, so he can be a bit fast around the ruck, perhaps, or just have that bit more speed to get around him and stuff like that. He may go back to fullback as well. Yeah,
this was the perfect game, just quickly, to have Matt Arthur come off the bench, by the way. It's been a massive opportunity missed.
Is he able to be playing first grade this year?
Yeah,
just upgrade him.
Why not? Why not?
Well, I'm just asking the question. Is he able to play first grade this year?
Yeah, we've got spots.
Okay.
Well, I know we're saving one for Zach Lomax, you reckon we don't need, but we've got spots. And we're going to have to swap someone anyway. Someone else is going to go. All right, Matt, fire away.
What's there to say? I hate the Darwin game.
Yeah. So you haven't got your Territory Hills hat in the background hiding?
Nah. I never bought one, never will.
Territory. Yeah,
I should have found the singlet that goes with it and worn that tonight as well.
They'll go visit, swim with some crocodiles, and yeah, they just, I don't know. I hate the Darwin game. But yeah, I think we win. But yeah, it's gonna be, I think Wayne Bennett will have a few trick shots up his sleeve, considering he wants that role.
Yep.
Playing on a round field is always hard as well, because it's an AFL field as well.
Well, it's still a square field. We don't, like, yeah. The field's still technically 70 wide by 100 long.
Yeah.
10-meter in goals, you know.
The rectangle field's still on there, but it's on a round field, an AFL field.
It usually affects kicking games, but let's be honest, our kicking game's not our strength at the moment anyway, so it shouldn't really affect us. Aiden?
Yeah, definitely meeting the Dolphins at a weaker point in their season with a lot of injuries at the moment. I agree with you, boys. What's Blaze doing on the bench? I feel like it's going to be typical Brad, and maybe Gutho comes off in the last 10 minutes and Blaze goes to fullback. Otherwise, maybe I don't see him playing like second row, but I see him maybe roaming on the right-hand side of the field around Bryce Cartwright's position, something like that. But yeah, interesting to see. I'm pretty sure it's a debutant named for the Dolphins as their fullback. So they've definitely got their work cut out for them. I'll give you a
Trey Fuller. Stat.
Yeah, Trey Fuller, mate.
He's played a game before, one game.
Oh, okay, so it's not his debut. He's not, what's his name?
Kyle Rebel.
His Darwin debut.
He's not Kyle Rebel. Yeah, one little stat for you, boys. Obviously, this game's not at Combank, and I was going to give you this stat.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
I tipped
Para last week, and this is a stat that obviously you boys probably will want to know, but Parramatta have actually won their last 8 home games, even if it be an away kind of game, and Parramatta are the home team. We've won our last 8 home games against sides that are higher than us on the ladder, so that gives us a bit of faith with the Dolphins sitting in 5th, us in 11th, that we can continue that streak of a good stat that's going around.
Thanks, Hayden. I missed that one. Sorry, in the stat report there.
Do you guys have jobs or what? Like, have you just been Googling shit?
Been on Google and all day.
Mate, if we want to get sponsors for the podcast, you see how professional and, you know.
You guys are using ChatGPT, aren't you? He's 100%. Give me stats on the Para game. All right, let's get into our – actually, hang on. Have we done everything? Yeah, we've done everything. Get questions in. Let's get into our bowl predictions. I'm going to go first. Look, I think it's a game we should win comfortably. I think it's a game we need to win comfortably because we need an easy win. As Joel touched on, going to Brookvale next week – obviously, it's a 7-day turnaround, but take travel into consideration after a 6-day turnaround, getting up there, as Matt said, kissing crocodiles, patting kids or patting kids, whatever, you know, kissing babies, whatever they do, they get around the schools.
They're not politicians.
Well, they act like it when they're up there. That's all it is. It's a political statement when they're up there. Let's be honest. It's a money-making political statement. So hopefully they can get back on that first flight and concentrate on that Manly game, because at the moment I've got us at about 1% chance of beating Manly. I need to see more this week. We need an easy win. Hopefully we get it. I've got us 36 to 10 winners. My first try scorer this week. Hot conditions, bit of a barge over. Some sweaty men in the middle. I know you'd like that, Matt, after your comment earlier. I've got RCG first try scorer. And my bold prediction is for us to win a game in Darwin against a Queensland team. Does that count?
We have won before.
Nah, I know. We've won one. We beat the Cowboys when I pretty much sucked.
We've beaten Brisbane. We've beaten Brisbane and Gold Coast, yeah. So.
When they sucked as well, yeah.
So we've beaten three Queensland teams.
All right, my bold prediction is out of the seven tries we score, because we're not going to kick all our goals, is for three of them to be forwards. There you go. Go, Joel.
I will go Parramatta 26 points.
Oh! 10.
Yep.
Goodness me, that hurt my eardrums. Oh, what the geez. Hell was that?
I'll have to edit the audio there.
Yeah, I'll go first try scorer to be, just because I've been paying him out, Morgan Harper. I think he'll end up scoring.
You took my one.
And I will have my bold prediction. I'll say the current 8 and 10, so Junior and RCG, will both score a try.
Wonderful. All right. Go, Troy, because he stole yours. We'll let you go.
Yeah, well, you actually nearly stole my score. You said 36 to 10. I was going to say about 36 to 12. So I won't go that one. Eh?
Yep, okay.
I won't go that one. No, I'll go 40 to 10. Parramatta to win, and I'll go outside the square. I'm going to say Jermaine Hopgood first try scorer. He's still got a three in his number, like Will Penasini. So I'm going to go Jermaine. And bold prediction, I'll say Dylan Brown to kick 240-20s.
That is bold. I'll let you have that, because that's very bold, and also zero chance. All right, chest on, hair on chest, you'll go.
Oh, I'm going to go, I didn't expect that. I'm going to go Parramatta to win here. I think, did you say 26 to 10, Joel? Was that your scoreline?
Yeah, I've got
a very similar scoreline here. I've got us winning 1 to 12, but I've got the 22-10 scoreline. So close there. I think it'll be a fairly low scoring game. Those conditions, I think, I don't think we'll get more than 28 points. So, yeah, 22-10 for mine. First try scorer, I'll go Gutho. I reckon Gutho will get the first try. I don't think I've backed him for first this year. So Gutho, first try. And my bold prediction is Parramatta to lead at halftime, 14 points to 4. Exact score, 14-4 halftime.
Oh, Matt's favourite number, 14.
Yep. Go, Matt.
12? No, so every team that gets beat in the second half usually is sitting at 14 at halftime.
Oh, right.
Just saying.
Like the Raiders.
It's like 80% strike rate or something. I looked it up.
We're all about the stats tonight, aren't we? Honestly.
80, look it up. I went back 5 years. Every team leading hit 14 at halftime have always lost the second half.
All right, spit it out. I've really got to piss. I drink way too much water.
So 32-14. I had Hopgood. I'm going to change it to Arcy. And my bold prediction is Blaze will start this game.
Oh, you got to extend on that. Who's he starting for?
Bailey.
Because Bailey's carrying an injury. Surely this doesn't count.
No.
Well, all right, fair enough. Yeah.
Can we just have one more thing? Can we all take a prediction as to how many water bottles will be out?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay, sorry. This is why we need a run sheet.
No, we don't. We just need to just wait. Leave it. It's under control, Troy. All right? I'm going 11. You're going last now, Troy. Joel?
Yeah, because Troy won it last year. That's why.
We're going, empty water bottles when Brad Arthur is last shown. Okay? Last shown on TV, how many empty water bottles there are. I've gone 11. Joel's gone 8. Aiden?
Oh, I was going to go 8 if they were empty ones. I'll go 7.
Yep. Matt?
I'm going to go 12. Oh,
12 empty bottles.
Favorite number.
May as well go 9 or 10, Troy.
No. Look, I'm going to go differently. I'm going to go 5. 4. Actually, 4. I'll go 4. I don't think he'll be on the waters that much. Yeah. Because everyone pays out on him for it. So I don't. He might drink him in the sheds with no cameras. So
there's been so much talk of water and it's rough. I'm crunching. My legs are together. That's all I'll say. All right. Any good comments? We've got about 2 minutes. Any good comments you've been going through, Joel?
Let me just quickly go through some.
I do agree, guys, on that one before. Get your comments in quickly over here. Troy should be on mute because of that disgusting hat.
Yes, well, you know. I'll fix it up for you next week, Adam.
Thank you.
We'll be...
Oh, here you go. There was one here about Derek calling people out. I don't know who said Blaze can't defend, but it wasn't me. Who said Blaze can't defend?
That's not how you spell Blaze to begin with. Sorry, Derek.
I think it was me and Adam, actually. I think it was me and Adam, but that was...
No. I know. I said he struggled to defend at 5'8", but that's not on Blaze. That was on Maddo in that Canberra game. Like I've said before, a senior player like Madison, and really any player should defend their halves and help their halves out. How long did we see Mitch struggle defending the halves? It was years before he got his confidence in the halves to be able to defend. Madison should have protected Blaze. I thought Blaze in that first game against Manly, he struggled early on, but look what he was facing. Turbo turned him inside out a couple of times. The second half, he really got stronger. So, you know, look, natural position centres is going to get better and better if we put him at fullback. He gives a fucking shit about his defence. How does Vlasic still have a spot? Joel, you want to answer this one?
I don't know either. People go on about last week, oh, he almost had 2 tries, but I keep saying it, Matt Arthur is the best hooker at the club. I saw comments before saying someone said Matt Arthur's rubbish. I don't know what the hell he's been watching, but he's honestly this clear standout in New South Wales Cup for us and arguably one of the best hookers, if not the best hooker in Cup as well at the moment. So don't know what that person's watching, but he could easily for mine handle first grade this week. And as I said, I'd be putting him at least on the bench at the moment and letting him have a bit of time in Selassie, because I don't think Lusick's an 80-minute hooker at this stage.
I just think that
Lusick's there because he drives Guffo to the games.
I think he struggles with the fact of what happened with Jake. Like I said, I've called fans out just before. The way fans treated Jake is why we're not seeing Matt at the moment. And like I said, the message needs to be given to Brad, and I think, look, if Brad knows he's on his way out the door and starts to throw his final, you know, little rolls of the dice, I guess maybe he'll bring Matt in, give his son his debut and see what happens. One thing I forgot to add, which I want to add before we go, yeah, love a bit of hooker talk. And the one thing I do want to say is this game, obviously, this week, if Brad can't get his team up for this game and the team can't have his back, obviously, will the Craig Billy, I've done it again, Wayne Bennett talk. And we saw how Brad obviously handled that Wayne Bennett conversation, that question in the press conference last week, which I thought was a very good press conference. Then obviously questions do need to be asked because he should be as motivated as all fuck to get his team to win this week. Why does BA hate hands? I believe he's more of a feet guy, got a bit of a foot fetish, but I don't really dive into that kind of side of things. Matt, you're into boys and fetishes. Can you answer why he hates
sweaty
hands?
Sweaty
bed. Maybe question team selection.
Yeah.
Oh, this one, don't go KO. It is that laggy and shithouse. I've moved over to the Foxtel side and I'm loving it. So.
I'll give anyone a clue that's on Foxtel. I've been cancelling Foxtel for the last 5 years, and every 6 months when I ring up to cancel my Foxtel, it gets cheaper and cheaper. And I've got nearly every channel multicasting so I can put on my other screen. Obviously, Foxtel Go. And I'm paying $48 a month, and it just keeps getting better. Right? They will not let you cancel. I think KO's $30 or something like that.
There goes Foxtel as a sponsor of the podcast. You just let the cat out of the bag there.
I don't give a shit, guys. Ring up. Fuck them. Like, I've been paying a shitload for you. If you're paying $119 for Foxtel, now jump in the comments. If you're paying $119, let me know. But get on Foxtel. Ring up. I'm cancelling. Get put through to their loyalty team, their win-back team, because 100% you'll get it cheaper.
I think quickly, everyone. There's been a lot of Lane talk tonight. What's everyone's views on Lane? I think we should end on that one.
I think
should be in the side, should be dropped. What?
You can't drop everyone, though. Like, yeah, his form has been down, but he's still... he probably deserves a bench spot, I think. I think he's shown that he can still be within the team, but probably not. Shouldn't be starting.
He might be a better performer if he doesn't play 80 minutes.
Yeah, I think it comes down to burnout. We gave a lot of slack to Lane last year because of the injuries and obviously kept coming back from that. I think he struggled a bit with Dylan Brown's form. I'm not saying Dylan Brown's been bad, but with Dylan Brown being forced to control the team, I think Lane struggled a bit and hasn't been able to play that good combination we saw in 2022. Look, he's been shit since that season, obviously. I wouldn't completely drop him. It'd be harsh given that. Wait till Mitch gets back and see how his form is there. But I'm really liking the emergence of Moretti. He runs hard. He hits hard. He's getting better and better. I want to see more minutes from Moretti. If Cartwright's not ready to go, Cartwright back to the bench. We're seeing Maddo mostly used as a forward now anyway. Get Moretti on that edge. Use Maddo at lock to give Hopgood a rest. Then Moretti can slot in there as well. Then bring Cardi on a bit later when the Sting's gone out of the game a bit. That's what I'd be doing. All right. That's all we've got time for. Troy, take us out. Before you do take us out, Troy, I know I've been joking a fair bit about this. We are looking for a sponsor of the page. Like, if anyone's out there watching, shoot us a message. Like, obviously, the page has been going nuts. We've been getting, 4,000 or 5,000 views. Joel's been going nuts. Been getting views there as well. Mate, you can come on as a joint sponsor of League of Inches and Talking Para. We don't want any cash or anything. We literally just want something. Slide into our DMs and we'll get back to you. Go, Troy.
You could also sponsor the Paracave podcast as well if you want.
You've got enough sponsors, mate. You've got more. Triple sponsor.
But anyway, thank you very much for watching and listening. The audio of this podcast will be out tomorrow on Apple and Spotify. Tune in next week at 8:15 on a Tuesday night and see how we go this weekend. Enjoy your footy and go Para.